11 is where we're going to be. Acts chapter number 11. Acts chapter 11. Today we're going to talk about the first mission trip. When Pastor let me know that he was going to be out of town, he said, go ahead and kind of almost give a charge to the mission team. So if you don't mind, that's kind of what we're going to do. But I think it would apply to all of us, specifically in terms of service and in terms of what the Lord has for us. It was kind of interesting. He actually mentioned, you know, maybe if you could do Acts 11 and tie it in with Acts 10. Well, they're like the same chapter. You know, so this morning he went and he brought the first slide up and it's actually the same first point. And I'm like, oh, great, here we go. So, but anyways, the Lord's going to bless and I am looking forward to it. How many of you have ever been on a mission trip before? Go ahead and raise your hand. Let me see your hands. How many of you have ever been on a mission trip? It might be overseas, might be stateside. Excellent. Good. You can put your hand down. Mission trips are a great, great blessing. I really got called to full-time ministry, I guess you could say, in conjunction with a mission trip. Mission trips are just wonderful blessings. What they are, the real purpose of it is to get away and to have a specific focus and to fulfill a specific mission. Now, in just a little bit, we'll go through a little bit more of the details of that. Pastor Mike will go through that, what our mission is with the Arizona mission trip, and the Lord is going to work in some spectacular ways. But what I want us to do right now is look at the biblical, the spiritual focus of a mission trip. Why do we have mission trips? What is the biblical basis of mission trips? Now, if you really go through the Bible, the first real mission trip, I would say, would be right here in Acts chapter 10. Now, some people could say Philip. I was reading some people, and some people said, Philip was a single person all by himself. So perhaps, but I would say this would be the first full-out mission trip. And what it shows us is it shows us how we can be effective in our ministry. Now, you might be saying, okay, you know, we have, what, 20-something people going on the mission trip. The rest of us here are not. So, Pastor John, this doesn't really apply to me. Can I say that every single one of us, regardless of whether you're going to Arizona or whether you've even been on a trip in the past, we all have a mission. That mission is found in the book of Acts, right? And that mission is that we are to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. That's what Pastor talked about this morning, that everyone needs the gospel. So can I say this? When you go to Walmart, you are going on a mission trip. When you go to Harris Teeter, you're going on a mission trip. When you go to the coast, which everyone goes to the coast, you're going on a mission trip. Everywhere we go is a mission trip. So how can we be effective in the mission trips that we've been called to? And specifically, of course, it would apply to those of us that are going to Arizona. So let's look at it. First off, how can we be effective in our mission trip? Number one, it requires preparation. If you're taking notes, preparation. See, a mission trip requires a certain degree of preparation. Now, of course, with Arizona, we have had a lot of preparation. As a matter of fact, Pastor Mike and I, we've been talking about Arizona for months now. We've talked about the plane tickets. We've talked about housing. We've talked about the events that we're going to be doing, the projects we're doing, about the ministry that we're going to be doing. Every aspect has to be covered. But can I say, far more important than the physical preparation is the spiritual preparation of a mission trip. Couldn't you understand that? If we went and we prepared all of the physical things, got all our ducks in a row, so to speak, but we hadn't done the spiritual preparation, then do you think the trip would be successful? No. Certainly not. See, there is a spiritual preparation necessary for any kind of trip. And can I say this? If you are going to be effective in your mission, what God has placed you on this earth for, what God has placed you in this church for, there has to be a level of spiritual preparation. Look at the spiritual preparation that Peter went through in Acts chapter number 11. Let's look at Acts 11 and starting off in verse number 1. And the apostles and brethren that were in Judea heard that the Gentiles had also received the word of God. And when Peter was come up to Jerusalem, they that were of the circumcision contended with him. That means they basically fought with him, saying, "Thou wentest in to men uncircumcised and didst eat with them." But Peter rehearsed the matter from the beginning and expounded it by order unto them, saying, "I was in the city of Joppa praying, and in a trance I saw a vision. A certain vessel descended, as it had been a great sheet let down from the heaven by four corners, and it came even to me. Upon the which, when I had fastened mine eyes, I considered and saw four-footed beasts of the earth and the wild beasts and creeping things and fowls of the air. And I heard a voice saying unto me, 'Arise, Peter, slay and eat.' But I said, 'Not so, Lord, for nothing common or unclean hath at any time entered into my mouth.' But the voice answered me again from heaven, 'What God has cleansed, that call not thou common.' And this was done three times, and all were drawn up again into heaven." First off, notice that he was in prayer. Look back at verse 5. "And I was in the city of Joppa," say the next word with me, "praying." Praying. Can I say this? Any kind of mission that we are going to do for the Lord requires prayer. In our staff, we've actually been reading the book, Why Revival Tarries. And if I could almost summarize the book, Why Revival Tarries, prayer. That's really what the book is all about. The book talks about the fact that so many times in our life, we are so distracted by everything else that we lose sight of the one most important thing, and that is prayer. One thing that Leonard Ravenhill, the writer of the book, says, and at first, I'll be honest, I was kind of like, really? He said, "I believe that Satan is perfectly contented if we spend time in anything, yea, even in Bible study, if we do not devote time in prayer." He goes on to say that the reason for that is that we so many times get ourselves smarter, but yet we don't have the power to do anything with it. It's like we sit at home or we sit in our churches and we feed ourselves, but yet we don't have the power to step out and to do anything with it. And what I was encouraged with is this reality. Where you have been placed in your life, where you have been placed in your calling, requires that you have the power of God to function. What did Jesus say? Jesus said, "Without me, you can do what? Nothing." Folks, we have to have prayer. Can you imagine this story if Peter wasn't praying? Peter's just in the house of Simon the Tanner, he's kind of getting ready for lunch. He's just sitting there. I would submit that the whole story would be much different if Peter wasn't focused on prayer. Can I say this to our Arizona mission team? How much have you prayed about Arizona? Oh, we've prepared. We've practiced that crazy skit a gazillion times, right? We've prepared. We're already with our construction projects. We're already with all the things we're going to do. We've prepared. We're ready with our games. We're ready with all those things. But how much have we spent time in the most important thing? In prayer. Because prayer is what will make the difference. Number one, spiritual preparation. Prayer. Number two, in their purpose. See, the reality is they needed to understand what their purpose was. And can I say this to every single one of us? We need to understand what our mission is if we are to be effective missionaries in the area that we've been called. Isn't that right? We must understand why we exist if we are to be effective. What's our mission on this life? What is it? It's what? To be a witness, right? To share the truth of the gospel, to encourage others so that Christ can be glorified. That is our mission. That is our purpose. And anything that divorces ourselves from that mission needs to be held back. Can I say this? When we go to Arizona, we'll be doing lots of other things. We'll be doing projects. We'll be putting in an air conditioner. Amen. Praise God. We're going to be doing all these different things. But the goal of it is one mission. And that's to see souls saved. Can you say in your life, the goal of my life is one mission, and that's to see souls saved? I would say this, many times the goal in our life is every other mission but that. Our goal in our life is to make money. Our goal in our life is to be happy. Our goal in our life is to have fun. Whatever it is, can I say this? Our mission, why we exist, is to please God. And once Peter saw, hey, the mission is that there are souls in throughout this world that have not heard the gospel. When he saw that, then it changed the way he lived, right? When he saw that, then he decided, hey, you know what? There's a Cornelius guy that needs to hear the gospel. I'm going to go. When he saw that, then later on in Acts 10, all the people that were scattered abroad, they go everywhere, what? Preaching the word, right? They are now traveling to other places telling the gospel because they caught the mission and therefore they were missionaries. I would submit this. The reason why we're not good missionaries is because we don't have a mission. We don't have a purpose. Number one, spiritual preparation. It has to be in prayer. Number two, it has to be in purpose. And then number three, it has to be in people. Look at chapter 10 and verse 30. And Cornelius said, 4 days ago, I was fasting until this hour, and at the ninth hour, I prayed in my house, and behold, a man stood before me in bright clothing. Can you get this? Days before God ever came to Peter and said, go, there was a person praying that someone would come. Can I say this to everyone that's going to Arizona? Way before we ever thought about Arizona, God knew that we needed to go to Arizona. It's the truth. As a matter of fact, Mike could attest to this. Getting the mission trip organized this time has been much more difficult than other times. We went through lists of different places. We contacted this place, we contacted that place, and just nothing worked. And you know why I believe that is? Because God had a specific purpose and he had specific people in line for us to go and to minister to. Can I say this? Here in Wilson, God has specific people that he is preparing for you to win. You to win. You say, well, I'm not going on a trip. I'm not in full-time ministry. It doesn't matter, right? We all have a mission. We all have a purpose, right? Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. So if that is our purpose, then God is going to make that happen. All we have to do is we have to find them. That's the reality. We just have to find them. Spiritual preparation. In prayer, in purpose. Number three, in people. But the personal preparation. He had to step apart from his comfort. Here he is. You know what's interesting about this story? Is that Peter, you remember, he was hungry, right? That's what started the whole thing. You right? He was hungry. He was sitting there, he was hungry. All of a sudden, before anything comes, This is what gets me. Before anything comes, he goes, he has the vision, three times the, you know, fancy barbecue sheet thing comes down, comes back up, and nothing, right? All of a sudden, these people come from Cornelius, they say, hey, we need to go, and boom, what does Peter do? He goes. Can I say this? He stepped away from his comfort, from what would be comfortable. Why? Because the mission was more important than his comfort. Can I say this? When we get to Arizona, it is going to be hot. It's going to be hot. If you've seen on my Facebook page, I have the most hilarious video from someone in Arizona. I really wanted to show it, but I decided not to. This lady is like crying as she's walking down the road, just crying about how hot it is. And I was like, hey guys, something to look forward to in just a couple days. And everyone wanted to back out. But anyways, It's not going to be comfortable. But what we have to do is we have to realize that the mission comes before our comfort. The mission has to come before our comfort. And can I say this? If you are going to be effective in the mission God has for you here in Wilson, the mission has to come before your comfort. Because let's be honest, being a witness, being a light in this world is not always comfortable. Can I get a testimony to that? It's not always comfortable to witness to your lost friend. It's not always comfortable to witness to your lost relative. It's not always comfortable to be a salt and light in your community, in your workplace, in fill in the blank. It's not always comfortable, but the mission has to come before the comfort. And when the mission comes before the comfort, then we're effective. Number two, the mission has to come before our biases. You know, when I was sitting there, when Pastor was preaching this morning, I was thinking, how often, many times we think of Acts 10 in the racial standpoint, and I understand that, but how often is it that we see someone on the road, or we see someone in a store, or we see someone wherever, and we say that person would never accept the gospel based on how they look, how they're dressed, how they act, fill in the blank. I remember I was in high school, and we were going out. It was door to door or something like that. It's hard for me to remember. It was a long time ago. I'm really old now, but we were going out, and I remember there was a Gothic person. Now I hadn't met a lot of Gothic people. I was kind of from rural Indiana, right? So, but there was a Gothic person, and he was walking down, and he had, you know, the black jeans and, you know, the big like spiked thing through his nose and, you know, like black eye makeup and stuff. And it was a guy and it was just creepy. And, you know, like all this like white makeup. And I'm just like, dude, that is not a guy to witness to, right? Like he is just going to like shoot me if I share the gospel with him. And I remember one of the people in my group, I can't remember who it was, but one of the people in my group, he goes up and he starts talking to him and starts sharing the gospel with him. And this guy, he goes and he's like, man, I really need that. He's like, man, one of my friends just died. And he goes and he's sharing the gospel with him. And I'm just kind of sitting back and I'm like, okay, any time now he's going to like slash his throat. You know? But no, he went. He shared the gospel with him and this guy gets saved. Why? See, what we do is we become the judge, jury, and executioner of people's souls. And the reality is our biases have to fall under the mission. The mission is to see souls saved. So regardless of what it is, whether it's racial, obviously, or whether it's just preference, it has to fall under to where, hey, this person needs the gospel. And it doesn't matter what I would prefer, they need to hear about Christ. Number one, preparation. But then number two, I love this part, and I really have to hurry, power. See, what is awesome about this story, and I'll fly through this part, is that it wasn't about Peter. Did you get that this morning when Pastor was going through it? It was so little about Peter. You would think with the message that Cornelius got, go and find Simon Peter because he's going to go and he's going to share you the way of salvation. And then all of a sudden these guys show up and Peter's like, okay, I'll go. And so they go and Cornelius goes and bows down and he says, oh, don't bow down to me. It's all about Jesus. Oh, okay, boom, we're saved. I mean, that's almost the story. And you're kind of like, say what? It wasn't Peter. Was it Peter? No, it wasn't Peter. What was the catalyst that saw the people saved? It was what? The power of God. It wasn't about Peter at all. It was about the Holy Spirit's power. And can I say this? When we go out there, it's not about our program. It's not about how good we are. It's not about how winsome you are or how outgoing you are. Listen, people are saved simply because God works in their heart. And the Holy Spirit leads us and the Holy Spirit directs us and gives a longing in their heart to become a Christian. It's not about us. It's not about us. And listen, if we have in our Arizona team or in our church, if we have the idea that it's about me, I need to be, oh man, I'm such a good person. Man, God is lucky that he got me. Can I say this? God doesn't want that. And God will not use that. Right? God resists the proud, but he does what? He gives grace to the humble. It's not about us. Look at what the Holy Spirit does. He gives them the exact location of where Peter is, right? He says, go to find Simon Peter in Joppa, in the house of Simon the Tanner. The specific location. He gives exactly where he needs to go. Can I say this, Arizona Mission Team? What we need to be praying right now is we need to be praying that God directs us to the right place and to the right people. We need that. And can I say this to Tabernacle Baptist Church? We need to be praying that God directs you to the right place and to the right people so that souls can be saved in this church. We have a glut of seeing souls saved in this church. And it's because we're not praying about it. And then number two, a longing for it. People that just wanted to hear it. Have you ever talked to someone and it's just like, boom, they want to be saved. I mean, they want to be saved. That's what happened with Cornelius, because the Holy Spirit was working. The Spirit leading, number two, the Spirit empowering. The words that we need to say, listen, they're all about Jesus. It's not some magic formula. It's not, oh man, I don't know what to say. So many times people say, oh, I can't be a witness. I don't know what to say. Can I say this? It's all about Jesus. If you look at Peter's sermon, he's just basically like, you know what? It's not about me. I'm just a normal person. But Jesus died. He was buried. He rose again. He died on the cross. And therefore, you can be saved. Joshua today, we were going to pick up my mom from the airport. We're driving along, and Joshua's telling little Bible stories to my mom in the back of the car. And mom asked about the crucifixion, I believe. And Joshua went and shared the gospel, 4 years old, or 5 years old, however old he is. He went and he shared the gospel, right? Oh, whatever. He's just my son. All right, so he shared the gospel, right? And he's just five. Don't tell me that some 40 or 50 or 30-year-old or teenager can't share the gospel with somebody. Don't tell me that. Don't tell me that. The gospel is not some magic formula. It's simply sharing what Jesus did. It's what it is. So just share it. It's all about Jesus. Let God do the work. It's not us. Get out of the idea that it's us. It's not us. It's God. Let God do the work. And you just share it and trust him for the power, because he's the one that does the power. Number one, there's the preparation. Number two, there's the power. And then finally, and this is just the best part, the praise. See, here's the reality. God has done every bit of it. God has done the preparation, right? He has led us. He's directed us. He's helped us. God has given us the power. So what happens with the praise? It all goes to who? To God. Because we didn't have anything to do with it. Can I say this? We had nothing to do with it. If we see souls saved in Arizona, it's not because we were so awesome. It's not because we had such an amazing program. It's not because we're such great Vacation Bible School skit people or because we're so good at youth rally games. The reason we'll see people saved in Arizona is simply because God saw people saved in Arizona. And the reason why Tabernacle Baptist Church sees people saved is because God saw some people saved. It's not about us. He gets the praise. He gets the honor. He gets the glory. See, here's what it is. Peter goes, and Peter basically goes back to the church, and he says, hey, I didn't really do anything. God directed him here. I went and I just followed what God said. I went and I said a little few simple sentences. They all got saved, and everyone's like, cool. And that's basically the story. Because of this, the gospel is opened up to the Gentiles. And listen, it was nothing to do with hardly anything that people did. They were just willing. They were just saying, hey, God, would you please use me? God, if you use me, then I'll go and I'll do what you want me to do. And then, God, you used me. It's all about you. Those are the steps to being a missionary. God, I want to be used. Are there some people tonight that would say, God, I want to be used? Whether I'm going to Arizona or whether I'm here in Wilson, God, I want to be used. Pick me. I want to be used by you. I want to see souls saved. I want to be a blessing in my family. I want to be a blessing in my community. I want to be a blessing in my workplace. God, use me. And then number two, God, if you lead me, if you direct me, then I'll say what you want me to say. It's not about what I say. It's about you. And then finally, God, you get the praise, you get the glory, because it wasn't about me in the first place. That is what missions is all about. It's all about him. It's all about him. Like I said, I love mission trips. Last year with Belize, we saw 75 people saved. We've seen many, many folks saved through the years. But the reality is, it's not because of us. And can I say this, Arizona team, if we get even the inkling that it's because we're so good, then God will shut the whole thing down. Because it ain't about us. And can I say this, Tabernacle, if we get even an inkling, man, we are the church that's standing for truth here in Wilson, God's going to shut the whole thing down. Because it's not about us. He gets the praise. He shows the power. All we have to do is prepare for it. My encouragement to you is very simple. Number one, are you and can you covenant with me in preparing for the Arizona team? You say, I'm not going to Arizona. That's fine. We need prayers. We don't want prayers. We wouldn't like prayers. We need prayers. Because the reality is, if we go and we do all our preparation and we get over there and we don't have a praying force in the background, nothing happens. And we might as well have gone to the coast and hung out at the beach. We need prayers. Will you covenant to prepare to help us as we go? Number two, will you pray that God's power would work in every aspect of this week? Listen, we need God's power. Whether it's us flying over there, we need God's power. Whether it's us going and actually ministering, whether it's us even doing construction projects on an Indian reservation, we need God's power. We covenant to pray, God, give power. God, lead. God, direct. Give power to the team. And then finally, would you covenant to pray with us that he gets the praise and he gets the glory? Because listen, if we come back here and we say, man, I saw five people saved. Oh, I only saw one person saved. Woe unto us. It's all about God. And listen, let me encourage you to be a missionary where God has called you to, right here, right now in Wilson. Let's close our eyes, every head bowed, every eye closed. Very simple invitation.